The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
And I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing good, thank you. And yourself?
I don't believe you.
Why not?
Well, you've had a little something going on.
What did I have?
I don't know, some kind of infection in your chest or something.
Oh, I've got infections everywhere.
Wow.
Look at this one.
Ooh.
No, I had I had a cold at some point. I was low on shaga. When I don't have shaga, I'm susceptible.
Low on shaga.
But I don't get very sick, really. But I did get sick at some point and had a cold. And then, I was left with the little bit of the cough thing after, which is still lingering a little bit. But I have bouts. I don't have it all the time.
Bouts, that's the two parts on your guitar as well.
The things that stick out?
Bouts
are those things that you paddle in the river.
Das Boot.
A big bout or a little bout.
What's on
the guitar? A bout.
This is
what are you talking about?
That's a bout and that's a bout.
Ah, that's nonsense. You're making it up.
No.
We better have a guitar show then so I can learn something.
Parts of a guitar.
I've been playing them things for years. Didn't know about a bout.
See? I didn't know anything about a bout.
We had guitar shows and you never even mentioned a bout. It must be something you just learned recently.
No.
Did you know about bouts for a long time?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
There's so many shows that we did that we left. We just skimmed the top and bounced out.
What's an hour? Should be doing hour? Workshops. Big JD and Lippo workshops.
Where are we going to do those at?
Well, we're going to do those in front of a green screen.
Oh, awesome.
Theoretically, we could do them anywhere in the world.
I might be able to point out.
We're in France today doing a workshop on the Eiffel Tower.
I love that idea.
What would that workshop be about? Engineering?
Sure.
Architecture?
Bungee jumping?
Architecture? Bungee jumping. Would you do that? Have you ever?
No.
I wouldn't.
They have ones that I would do where you're not, dangling by your feet and all your spine.
If it was like 2 feet down, I would.
That don't make any sense.
Like if the jump was shorter than the actual cord, that'd be fine for me.
Oh, okay.
Did you listen to the last show? Did you like the interview?
I didn't get to the interview.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Holy slacking.
I know.
So you didn't get to the end of the show either because I think there was a little treat at the end.
Ooh.
And I think I put it before the actual end.
Oh, did you?
So it was kind of neat too. Something different, like to mix it up a little.
So is it just a hanger thing that we're not going to tell the folks what they might have missed if they didn't listen to?
Oh, no, they got to go listen to it. I'm not telling anybody anything.
Yeah, I have to do more social media pushing of this show in particular.
Well, of course you do.
Of course you do.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what my problem is.
Yeah, what's your problem, man?
You know what I would like is if you could link to a very specific episode in Facebook. That would be good. Instead of going to the podcast page and you got to pick one.
Well, you could do that.
It would be good if it opened up
theoretically
right in Facebook. That would be the best.
I want to say, though, that we do have... Oh, no, it's not that. I could theoretically have a page that lists all the shows, and you could have direct link. But then again, you could have the direct link anyway to any show, right? So you could use a direct link if you wanted to.
I could directly link, and then would open up in a new tab.
It would... in Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it would open up in a new tab as just a... Crappy player, right?
Crappy player.
Facebook used to have a player. Why don't they have anymore? That was cool.
Yeah. Then they went third party.
Blog style thing.
And then places like SoundCloud, that's where they got a lot of their business.
Yeah. Well, if they're posted somewhere like that, then you would get a player, right?
Yes. In SoundCloud, you get a Facebook player.
Yeah. Yeah. That's too much work, though.
And money.
All the interns are,
Eventually, you would run past some quota. We have our podcasts are what? 15?
Unless you had like a few at a time. But then you couldn't just link to anything you wanted. If you thought about something one day, like, oh, we talked about that one day, let's put a link up, you wouldn't be able to do it. But you could if you do it, you know.
The hard way. The
old school way.
Yeah.
And in the news.
Have you listened to any of the new David Gilmour?
I did not. I think you had mentioned before that it was coming, though, right? Gilmour is coming to something. Yeah. I think so. Something, yeah.
Listened to it the last couple of days. It's pretty cool. It's classic.
Pink Floyd-ish?
Well,
some of his old school playing, like bluesy, a mesmerizing, reverby, type of stuff.
Strat, like, his sound, he has his tone, and I started listening to it yesterday on the golf course with my buddy Dan, and he, in the beginning, just slowly ramps up, you're looking, is it playing, and it's like at 8 seconds, and I don't hear anything, and my volume's cranked up, first song of the album, and then it just comes in this one ringing note.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan's like 20 feet away from me, and he hears it coming out of the golf cart. And he goes, oh, David Gilmour. That's a sign of an awesome guitar player. When one note is playing, he goes, is that
David Gilmour? Yeah, because he's got that specific sound.
Oh, does he ever.
And it's that, he's kind of got that, just that sound that's like a, I don't know, that's how I would classify it, as kind of mesmerizing.
Yeah.
You know, like you could just veg into his sound. Which is probably still the same. He probably doesn't change much. Comfortably Numb guitar is a pretty good example of the leads in that.
Yeah, awesome. They're cool, hummable, man. That's for sure. What other news do we have here?
I have a piece of news that Lemmy, although he's canceled some shows and stuff like that lately due to health issues, they just came out with a new album, Motorhead, and he says within the next 2 years they're putting out another one. He's already on to the next one. I like that.
Of course. You want him
I'd like to see it within a year, but he says two. That's okay. As long as we know there's a new Motorhead coming out, everything's okay. We need one of those shirts. Keep calm. Motorhead's putting out a new album.
Sure. I'd love that.
Sure.
and the members of...
Is your case from your other phone? It's not different size, is it? That's wood one?
No, it's a tan. Apple.
Okay.
Same one.
Same one from the other? I didn't see that.
No, it's before. The same design. But
yeah, okay.
This same is
design and size. He's got the new iPhone 6S.
6S.
Success.
Point Three Stooges. 0.2 millimeters thicker.
0.2 millimeter thicker phone?
Yeah. If you notice this year, they didn't say, thinnest iPhone ever.
Did you see the Jimmy Kimmel episode when they were showing everybody the very first iPhone, saying it was the brand new one, and everybody just loved it?
I know. It's great. So hilarious when
that
he does
is very funny.
He got that from Conan, though, didn't he?
Oh, probably.
I think
stole
he did.
It from somebody. Kimmel's not an originator, is he?
I don't think so.
I don't know. He's all right.
He's good.
He seemed different, though, when he first came out. Like, not... Usually a lot of those guys seem a little bit timid at first, you know, starting a show like that because they're new.
Yeah.
Same with Fallon, I think, once he started
Absolutely.
The night show, but
he
fell right into place, right?
Yeah, once he started the players up there, and he started doing like skits with, what's his name there?
Everybody, who?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, okay.
Him and Jimmy are buddies, and they sing a lot. And Jimmy's a pretty decent musician.
Yeah.
Jams with Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Pretending to be Neil Young.
He played
the beginning.
He did that with Tom Petty once, too.
Yes,
and I don't know Tom Petty so well, and I'm like, that's Tom Petty?
No,
it's Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, and there's Tom Petty.
Yeah, wow.
More news. I just saw this on the pages of ultimateclassicrock.com.
Already?
While Rat drummer Bobby Blotzer and guitarist Warren Demartini duke it out over who has the right to use the band name Rat. Juan Couture, he has a brother, Mike, who was in a band with a friend of mine, Steve, who they live out in L.A. And so I got to meet him, and Steve worked for this guy. He had a studio, let's see, something about The Cellar. I think that was it, The Cellar.
Mm.
And cool dude, but apparently he's got his own band. You know what he calls him? Rats Juan Couture.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an original name.
Yeah, exactly.
Why doesn't he just call it all Juan Couture?
He wants to use the rat.
He doesn't wanna.
But they played their first gig on September 24th in Westland at the Token Lounge.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
You know, we just played in Detroit. Was it at the Token? Anthrax and Armored Saint.
Really? I think.
Yeah, would have been pretty cool. It would have happened at the night. Wait a minute. Was it Anthrax and Riot? I think it was Riot.
The band Riot.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, what else is new?
Are you going to be getting the new Kirk Hammett Ghoul Screamer effects pedal?
No, thank you.
Were you ever a user of pedals at all?
Yeah, I was a user of pedals, and I like Metallica, but I don't buy other people's stuff. And so, what's the show on this week?
Well, if you're a big fan of Wicked Angel, you'll know that.
Who isn't?
Especially if you're listening to this show.
Yeah.
And you listen to some.
You can shut it off now. The Force of Metal. It was a big hit for us. Although it was played wrong on this. This was the big recording of it.
Yeah.
And we actually played it wrong. And that's how we left it. We didn't fix it.
What makes a song wrong?
We did the part of the chorus wrong in it. It was supposed to be like this, but we allowed only half the time. I don't remember how it all worked. So it goes instead of. You'll hear it come up. It's coming up, yeah.
So if you haven't guessed, we're talking about a band that.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that part went by too fast. It's supposed to be like double or quadruple the length.
Quadrupled.
But we left it, and that was that. And so what about Wicked Angel? Tell us about the band, man.
Our co-host here, Big JD, otherwise known as Jeff Oppen, was the mastermind behind Wicked Angel. Now, what I'd like you to tell the listeners is how the what was the inception of the band? Just you jamming by yourself and getting all these songs together and then brought in some other guys? Or did you just start jamming with some dudes and said, hey, let's get a band together, and you were the brains behind the songs?
Yeah, there was we had a group before that called Blizzard for I don't remember how long for. I'm going to say maybe 6 months, a year, something like that. I don't remember. But it was four-piece. It was Dwayne Pickersgill on singing and Mike Mier on bass, who we'll hear from a little bit later in the show, because we have a You Talking to Me segment in the morning show this week with Mike Mier, original bass player from Wicked Angel, and also with Mark Elford, who was another bass player from Wicked Angel. And two great guys, very different times for the band.
Yeah.
It went through a couple inception. It was mostly bass player. I forget how, like, I think I counted. At one point, we went through probably 16 bass players.
So who was in Blizzard? Who was the bass player in Blizzard?
It was Mike.
Mike.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Who's
so
now in Psycho? Transition. He's the Psycho guy.
He's the Psycho guy, yeah. Yeah. Mike is plays guitar and sings, three-piece, Psycho. Wicked Angel was three-piece. So, yeah, Dwayne sang, Mike played bass, and the drummer was, it was Brett. Brett was the drummer of Blizzard.
Okay.
And so what happens was at some point we switched to Wicked Angel. I think that Mike and I I don't remember what the, you know what I mean? That's actually something I would have to ask Mike, and I don't even think I talked to him about that specifically, switching between Blizzard and Wicked Angel. But we branched out on our own, basically, and my aunt came up with the name. For some reason, she said, "You know what it was? She used to call me that when I was little. She used to babysit me all the time." There's a story of that on the first CD we did on CDN Records Remaster Collection. And there was a phone call on that one. The second Remaster Collection, I had my aunt tell the story. We recorded it.
I remember that. Yeah.
And so I'm like, wow, that's a really cool name for a band. So that should be our new band name. And it was, and she called us that, and how they came up with the name was because it was a mischievous child in a Taylor Caldwell book, who was a, you know, writer at the time. And anyway, so we decided to use that name, and we got Dave Perry in the band, who was a drummer. And oh no, actually, wait a minute, what happened? Wow. No, there's just there's so much, man. I can't remember everything. What happened was we left, me and Mike. We went, we moved to where we had, I think we found a drummer, and oh, we got a singer again. So it was still four piece in the very beginning. Yeah, that's what it was. And we moved to like Simcoe for 6 months, and then London, and that's where our singer was based out of. We had an original drummer, Rick Amy. He was the original drummer with the Angel, actually, not Dave. Anyways. So what happens is we move out there, and we got things started there, started playing some clubs. We had a manager and all this stuff. And
what year are we talking?
I don't know, 82 maybe, something like
82.
That.
82. And in terms of metal's popularity at the time.
It was big. It was just
it was just the beginning of metal.
Really, yeah.
What bands were you listening to? What were your favorite
metal
bands?
So we were listening to, and we were playing a few covers at the time.
Okay.
But they would be like Manowar, Torch. I think we played an Ozzy tune. We played some other heavy stuff. We played Motorhead. You know, pretty heavy stuff, like, yeah, you know, metal. There were some other things I can't remember what all we did or played or whatever. And then we left there. We had enough with these two guys. We come back to Windsor, got Dave then.
Okay.
And I want to say we got Dwayne in Wicked Angel for a little bit of time. So we were still four piece. And then we had enough of having Dwayne. A singer.
Okay.
And I just took over. So that was that. And we went three piece and never looked back after that from three piece. I never would again, even right. In a new band. But,
okay. Yeah, so. You want to tell what we're doing as far as the playing of the music?
Yeah, there's just Wicked Angel music in the background. We heard Force of Metal first. Set Me Free, I wanted to listen to, actually. And I think that's what we'll do. We'll listen to Set Me Free coming up here. And we're just playing some music in the background. And we'll stop and listen to a few of the tunes, that's all.
So it will duck after the fact.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Okay. Then so this is Set Me Free. This is from the Cotton of Ice CD, which was recorded at Producer's Edge in Michigan. I'd just like to give a quick shout out to Rob Krajenki, who we recorded that with. He was a producer. I executively produced that CD, but we recorded at his place, and we were actually in Michigan to record something for the one of the Riff albums. You know, they had the compilation things, yeah. And we did a couple songs at one of the studios, and then we had some stuff go on and some issues and whatnot, and Rob was leaving the studio, and we had our own problems with the studio and whatnot, and we ended up having to steal our tapes out of the studio at some point, and we brought that to Producer's Edge with Rob, opened up his own place, and we finished the actual CD there. It was an 8-song CD.
So you literally broke into the building and stole them?
Yeah, I guess you could say that, because nobody was supposed to be there, and Rob was not supposed to be there anymore, and we were had our own issues with the studio and everything, so we were definitely not supposed to be there. So yeah, it wasn't like we had to break in a window or anything, you know what I mean?
Right.
He just finagled himself, maybe still had a key or whatever, something, you know what I mean? And we ended up getting our tapes with the two songs that we were using for the other thing, and needless to say, because all that stuff was being done with that studio,
right,
they weren't a part of the Riff thing after.
I see.
So yeah, it was a whole riff going on.
Mm.
What's the word for that? Is there a riff? A rift? A riff?
Oh, there's
something,
a rift.
Something, isn't there?
Yeah. Rift is a word.
Okay. Yeah, that's what happened. Everything just got out of sync.
Okay, so you are in a 4-piece band for about a year and a half now.
Sure.
Blizzard and Wicked Angel with Dwayne Pickersgill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's... You never had the lead role, like you're like Ted Nugent to Derek St. Ohms kind of thing? Like you were the star of the show, but there was the singer also kind of thing?
Yeah, we had the lead singer, but I sang some songs, a couple tunes or whatever.
Yeah.
And Mike and I shared singing a song. And early on, I started writing. And Dwayne actually sang some of the songs early on when I started writing, but mm-hmm. I sang one in particular. And Dwayne didn't really want to do originals, want to do cover songs, you know, play the bars kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was already headed that way, and I was already started singing and playing. So we just said, okay, well, we're just going to do our thing as a 3-piece. And so I wrote everything, and I sang everything. And on every release that we did, back then it was like demos that we were releasing. And we sold them like crazy, man, all over the world, but all snail mail. We had to send everything out, right?
Yeah.
And we got this little break coming up, so we'll be back right after this.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And so we were sending all this stuff out, snail mail, but Mike Mier, who was the bass player, mm-hmm. He would write and sing one song on everything that we did. We talked about that in the interview that's coming up,
right.
But I think that was something because of the Anvil thing. Anvil did that, and so I wanted to do it. And this is something else here. I got the whole Cotton of Ice thing here because it was a... you know, really well recorded stuff, but
mm-hmm.
This is Dust to Dawn from that album.
Escape my grip, is that so glittery?
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Canadian power metal trio Wicked Angel delivered heavy melodic power metal for over a decade as one of Canada's premier underground metal bands of the 80s and early 90s. With demos and studio recordings sold worldwide, radio airplay in almost every country on the globe, and rave reviews and interviews in just about every rag from fanzines to major magazines like Kerrang, Wicked Angel persevered, holding out for that big American record deal. With many offers from smaller labels and a couple European distribution deals they did take, the big one just didn't come before the band disbanded in the early to mid-90s. They've been back as of late with a couple remastered collection CDs, both of which contain new songs, one released in 2009, the other in 2011. With talks about the possible release of a brand new CD from the original trio, I am joined today by the two main bass players from the band, both Mike Hard Metal Mike Mier and Mark the Animal Elford. First up, it's Hard Metal Mike, now with the hard metal band Psycho, who is also making a cannonball splash with a number of new releases in the past couple years. Mike, welcome back to You Talking to Me.
Hey, JD, thanks for having me. Glad to be here, for sure.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, let's start out with something about Wicked Angel back in the day. Went through a few incarnations, and you were the original bass player in the band, but people don't realize that it was actually a four-piece at one time, and a couple of times with a couple different singers or whatever, and a couple different drummers and whatever. But back then, having a single guitar player, whether it was a three-piece or a four-piece with a singer or whatever, Wicked Angel at some point went to three-piece. How did that change things or make it the overall experience better, in your opinion?
I mean, it was great as a four piece. I mean, we had a singer, Dwayne Pickersgill, and Chris Main there a couple of times. It was a great band. We did some covers and you know, half covers, half originals. Basically, it was great. The good thing was you played guitar, so it had that raw guitar sound with the bass. So it was like it's a three piece band with the singer, right? So,
yeah, yeah.
And then we switched to doing all originals. And then, three piece only, and you singing, and then I'd sing a couple of tracks, and it was more Motorhead style. Seemed to get harder, heavier then. It was a cooler sound, I think, with a three piece and you singing.
It just came to the point, I think, where four people was always going to be harder to deal with four people or five people or six people in a band than three, right?
Yeah, let's face it. Singers are a pain in the ass.
We should know we are them.
Any band will attest to that. I mean, three piece is great. It's definitely, I think it's the way to go if you can pull it off. Right? You got to have a good bass player, a good guitar player, and either the bass or guitar player's got to be able to sing and play. I mean, there's a lot going on and only a few guys to do it. So when it's done right, like Motorhead and that kind of stuff, I mean, it does sound great. And the coolest thing is if you can pull it off live and sound like you do in the recording, that's great.
Back in the day, I mean, you do some of the covers, but always on the demo releases, you did a song as well, something that you had wrote and something that you sang. To me, it was, I don't know, I think part of it kind of stemmed from what Anvil was doing, because Anvil was always an influence, and they always did that, where the other guitar player did a song on the album or whatever, and I don't know how that came about or whatever, but I think it was a cool thing that we did at the time.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I mean, I think we just tried it. I think I might have just brought a song to rehearsal, I think, back then. No One Gets Out Alive, I think, was the name of the track back. It must have been 82 or 83. I don't even remember. I might have just said, hey, listen to this. What do you think? And I had some lyrics and maybe started jamming. And we said, we must have said, let's do it. So, I mean, I think there was that one and Burn You Down. There was a couple of them I did, I think there was only two
I think,
or three.
I think there was, I think on the second demo that we did, Witch, remember that?
Oh, yeah. There's another one.
I want to say something like that. And then Burn You Down. I want to say we actually, that came in when we did that live show at the Anglo Club here in Windsor. And we did that
live. Like a reunion show.
That was really cool.
Yeah. And then I did a couple Motorhead tunes, I think, sang.
Yeah, yeah.
Through them. You did most of it. Yeah, it was cool.
Me and you split on one, too. Remember that? I think Chase is better than the catch.
Yeah, yeah. Sang line for line or something, yeah. Maybe it's cool. It brings a little bit of variety to the band, you know? You know, it's, you're going down one road, and then another guy comes in and sings a tune or two. It's pretty cool.
Plus, we were always on the same page. The tunes were always cool, no matter what we did.
Oh, everything was heavy, you know, Black Sabbath influence to Kiss to Motorhead to the Metallica style when that kicked in the early 80s. I mean, those were the bands we listened to and it emulated when we, you know, that's what got us into it and, you know, wrote our music in that kind of style.
It was a pretty big thing for an independent band, you know, and underground at that time. Can you imagine if there were computers at the time and we were able to get our stuff out like you can now? Wow.
That's a huge, yeah. Back then it was like, you know, you had to record on an 8-track and you know, make a cassette and, you know, drop your own casing for it and pass it around door to door, basically. And that's the way it was. It's certainly easier today with, you know, digital world that you can record something one day and 2 minutes later blast it out to the world, really. Who knows what would happen back then, you know? Probably a lot of bands, not just us, right? There was a lot of good bands definitely back in the late 70s, early 80s that I think that could have made it anywhere, just didn't have the means to like you do today, for sure. Yeah.
And what about maybe some old Wicked Angel story that you can think of? I mean, Wicked Angel, the band got signed 15 years after they had broken up, so this is not going back.
The whole Wicked Angel thing is just one big story for sure. It was like, for sure we had a blast, and when we turned around, we went to these, you know, little towns in the middle of nowhere. I remember being invited to parties and come on back to our house and this and that. And here's my girlfriend. Here's your food. Here's food. Here's a place to stay. Here's
my girlfriend.
Drugs, booze. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going to a show and some of our fans came up to the bar and, you know, rocking out with us. And all I remember is some guys were picking on my brother at the time, who was about 18, and just picking on him for whatever reason, you know. And my brother punched out the one guy who was twice the size of him. I'll never forget that. There was blood all over the place, and, you know, the place was upside down. We basically had to get our equipment and get the hell out of town after. It was just crazy. Stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. The guy came back with a gun, too, at some point.
Yeah.
We were long gone.
Who knows? Yeah, we're long gone, yeah. There's that, and playing at that high school and getting our equipment locked up because we didn't pay the janitor fee or something. I forget what happened, and we had to break into the school, steal our equipment, and split town. You know, just crazy stories we just did. And for no money, right?
Yeah,
we did it all for fun. We were eating crackers and Kraft dinner and touring around in, I don't know, who's ever car or van or whatever. We could borrow, steal, whatever, sleep anywhere. It was fun. It was a good time, for sure.
Yeah, that was the good old days, man, back then, starting out.
Definitely, yeah, and just go from town to town and have enough gas to get to the next one and whatever.
Like high school crazy time.
Definitely. We were right out of high school, you know, 18, 19, whatever, and just flying around, you know, living the dream, whatever.
So back to the stuff that you did in Wicked Angel and you know, you were writing early on back then too. I mean, even before Wicked Angel, way back we were writing tunes and I think we were just jamming in the garage, me and you with no drums, no nothing.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, for sure. I remember all that. I mean, I think we had a couple of names flying around. Warrior, I think we might have been 15 or 16. It was me and you, basically me and you for a lot of years, you know, before we even had a drummer. And then, you know, we got a drummer. We went through a couple of drummers and different, you know, Blizzard was another band we were in, you know, you and I.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Couple of versions of Wicked Angel. I mean, it went on for, you know, a long time, you and I. And then, you know, we were always cranking out stuff like, you know, Motley Crue and Manowar and Creeping Death from Metallica and
Torch.
Stuff like Torch and really obscure stuff back then. I mean, this is, you know, late 70s, early 80s. I mean, things were, this type of music we were playing was like over the top. You know, now it's nothing, but it was back then, it was like, what the hell is this, right? The speed, the flash, and everything was crazy. So we were doing it. you know?
So what I wanted to get at, though, with you writing too way back then, I mean, that must have been brewing inside you even the whole time through Wicked Angel, because, I mean, you switched playing guitar, three-piece, Psycho. Tell us about that.
Yeah, after, you know, me and you jammed for, you know, quite a few years, and then I think I moved out of town. I forget what happened, but I came back, and you had moved on with the band, and I started my own little thing. I had another three-piece. I played bass in the three-piece, started singing all the tunes, and did a couple of cover tunes, and I was always writing music, writing lyrics down, and had a book full of lyrics, right? We'll just write them out.
Yeah.
And then kind of have some songs or some riffs to them. And then met a couple brothers, the Sharon brothers out of Windsor, Ontario. And we had a band called Razorback for about a year or so. And we wrote about seven or eight songs, enough for a demo tape. And, you know, we played a couple gigs and, you know, and that kind of stuff. It was great. And that ended. And then you and I got back together, did a reunion, with Wicked Angel as a three-piece. It was great. We did that Anglo show. It was sold out. It was crazy. There's some cool footage of that, I believe, flying around that you got. And then started Psycho. You know, I just had this vision of a band I wanted to do and some lyrics and a bunch of stuff, and it just took off. And met a couple young guys, 15, 16-year-old kids, right still in high school at the time. I think I might have been 20 or 21 then. And we started Psycho, and that was in 87, and been rocking and rolling ever since with that.
Yeah, and recently you put out, like, was it 25th anniversary?
Yeah, back in 2012, I did a 25th anniversary, a bunch of, you know, old demo songs. I brought in some live stuff, some stuff off the vinyl EP we did in 88. So it was like 17 tunes, and then we did a video for it, or you shot the video, because we did a new song on it, too. My Intentions Were Good. You did the video, yeah, so... Right. A lot of old school stuff, some new school stuff, and then a couple years later, I came up with another EP, Psycho 6, just this past year. It was three new tunes. You did another video for us, and then I got another EP coming out with another new single right after that. So lots of good stuff happening in the last bunch of years. So
that's right on.
Should be doing some, yeah, should be doing some touring and playing around too.
And where can listeners check that stuff out online?
Basically, if you go to our website, psychomusic.ca, you'll get all the links to SoundCloud, iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff right there. That's the best way to go.
Cool. Great stuff, man.
Yeah, and for sure.
Take this second to remind listeners, too, that they can go to wickedangel.ca. And that doesn't change much over the years, but there's a little bit of information there. But there's also links to pick up those remastered collection CDs, the... Volume 1 and 2.
But those are great, you know. Those are excellent. There's some old stuff that we did on there and some new stuff. Those two discs there that you put out there are great. They're excellent to listen to. I listen to them, you know, a few times a year. It's great to just play them all front to back. They're excellent. You should tell all your fans, too, that and your listeners that we might be doing something together, like a little... couple new tunes coming out for some new WA, maybe.
Yeah, I was just about to get at that, actually. We're definitely doing a single that we're going to get started on probably sometime in November 2015. And, you know, hopefully within a couple months or so, we'll see a release of that single. And then we'll go from there and see what happens. I'd like to do a full CD, and that'll be with you and Dave.
Some new Wicked Angel 35 years later. That'd be cool. Yeah, that'll be excellent.
All right, that's right on, man.
Looking forward to it.
Really appreciate you being on the show and sharing these old stories and everything with us and talking about Wicked Angel and Psycho. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, JD. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Be sure to check out psychomusic.ca for more Psycho and also search them on Facebook and iTunes. Next up, Mark Elford joins me to talk about his years with Wicked Angel, now living the good life out west and pacifying his time as a custom builder of motored bicycles, choppers and all. Mark, welcome back to You Talking to Me.
Hey.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about the old days, Wicked Angel, because you probably remember more than me. For one thing, why do you think the band was so popular in Europe? Because we were on, you know, mega radio stations and interviews and magazines and all that kind of stuff, and then all the fanzines over there and everything, and not all that popular in Canada. I mean, they didn't take, you know, as easily to that kind of stuff, more so even in the US, but Europe really big. What would you attribute to band being so popular in Europe and not here, especially back then in the 80s?
Sound of the music. It wasn't hard to follow or nothing. That's what my guess is.
So like that heavy rock, power metal, and stuff like that?
Pretty straightforward stuff. And that was actually, it wasn't all that popular at the time when we were doing it. It really wasn't.
Yeah, we were kind of at the forefront of all that, and I think that's probably part of the reason that people liked it. So it was kind of something new.
Yeah. No, it was. It didn't fit in with anybody when we were playing. Everybody sounded different, and they were, I don't know, man. So long ago, I can't remember any of it.
And then at that time, you know, some of the metal bands that were already established in that, like, I mean, that would have had a couple albums out already and whatnot, like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and all that kind of stuff. And they had, like, you know, two guitar bands and things like that. And what do you think about the three-piece metal band? Because there wasn't really as many of them, you know what I mean, that were like a lot of the big metal bands had two guitars in them and that. But then, I mean, then there was Slayer and things like that. Or there was four-piece, you know, where somebody was singing maybe.
Yeah, well, three-piece is less noise, except if you don't include the distortion pedals. But it was pretty simplistic to hear, and the bass stood out, and the drums stood out, and the guitar stood out, and the vocals stood out. So there was no mixing of a bunch of especially an extra guitar player playing leads over everything. It's all fucking ridiculous shit anyways.
Yeah, I always thought that kind of muddied things up.
Yeah.
Unless you're a band like even Maiden and Priest and that were doing harmonies and stuff like that on their guitars and whatever. I mean, I guess you kind of need it for that. But we always did stuff that we did the same thing, anything that we recorded basically as we did live. So it was, you know, and I think that was kind of unique too. I think people were digging three-piece back then, you know what I mean? Because it was a little bit more out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So I guess that was pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
After Wicked Angel, you went on to do a couple other projects actually in... maybe we could talk a little bit about a couple of those. And the one of them was Nothing Matters, I think, right away. And you were still playing with Dave after.
Yeah. Well, me and Dave, we played for 4 years after Wicked Angel.
And same band, Nothing Matters?
Well, they actually, we went on for years, man. But we couldn't keep our guitar player together.
And you guys were three-piece, too?
Yeah. Well, anything more than three is a waste of time. It's like having an orgy with a bunch of dicks. It's no good. One of them's fine.
I know there was a couple things after that. One of them, I think, was like Over the Falls, but there was something before that, too, you did with Greg Vey.
Yeah, I did too many things. Oh, Wag Jar was one.
Oh, yeah, that Wag Jar, I think. That was pretty heavy. Both of those bands were pretty heavy. That and what was the other one I just said? Over the Falls, right, with... Scott Funnell.
If we would have worked on that, we could have done anything.
That was really cool.
We were too busy drinking.
I still have a recording of that too.
Yeah, it was actually really good. Yeah, you did a good job recording that. We did it live off the floor, man, no overdubs.
Yeah, that was at the Coach, right?
Yep, just the way I liked it. No, just play. If you're not good enough to play it live, you might as well not be doing it.
Yeah, and
but we didn't work on it hard enough. Everybody was too busy drinking and f***ing around, so that band never did anything. We could have actually done something there for sure.
So what about some kind of funny old road story or something from way back?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, all I can think of is that satanic people that had us over to eat, and the old lady was trying to rape Dave.
Trying to what?
Rape Dave. Yeah, they made us dinner in these big tin. There was so much food there, it was sick. But we didn't eat for a week, so it was good.
And that was a big table full of people. I can't even remember who was all there. And that was like in Ohio or somewhere.
Yeah, there was supposed to be all these record execs there, and I don't even know. But all I remember is it was a bunch of weirdos.
Wow, yeah.
Whose fucking house was that? Some guy that was a manager or something?
And I want to say they recorded a show that we did in Ohio, and it came out only on one side.
Yeah, it was no good. Hey, remember we opened up for that band War?
Nope.
Do you remember that? There was a bass player, singer, a guitar player, and a drummer. And they played two bands after us, and they were actually really good. They were from Europe.
Wow,
I think they were Swedish or something. They're actually really good. I think you were gone, though. I think me and Dave stayed till the end of the night or something. I don't know how the we ever got around back then. Worn out running shoes. Yeah, I don't remember. I can't remember any of that man. It's just way too much.
I think some of that trip we had that big rental truck that I fell asleep driving, remember?
Yeah, that was awesome.
We both were sleeping. Sure you woke up that. And I was on in the other lane.
Yeah, I looked up and you were sleeping. I put my head down on the center console, and I said, you better not fall asleep. You're like, I won't fall asleep. And I fell asleep, and I opened my eyes, and I looked up at you, and you were nodded right off, going wide open in the truck.
200 miles an hour in a big
14-foot diesel. Yeah, I actually remember that. We almost died, so.
That's one of the few things I do recall. It's cool. Well, I appreciate you talking to me today on the old days of Wicked Angel.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot more. I'd have to sit down and think about it for a few hours. Then I'd need a couple beers, and then I could really go at it. But
all right. Well, it was great talking to you, man. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, no problem, man. It's good to talk to you, dude.
Well, I'd like to thank both of my guests today, Wicked Angel bassists Mike Mier and Mark Alford, for being on the show. Visit wickedangel.ca for more information on the band and links to both the remastered collection CDs, Volume 1 and 2. This is You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening. Okay, we'll listen to this next track. This is The Beast. This was going to go on the Black Shark played earlier, and we didn't say anything about the song, okay. But that and The Beast were the ones that we were recording for the... Actually, it was one song we were putting on the riff thing,
yeah.
And it was going to be this song, and we snuck in an extra song. Rob allowed us to do it. Rob was good friends with our manager at the time, who was from Detroit. And so, anyway, we were able to record two songs. It was The Beast and Black Shark, and The Beast was going to be on the riff thing, and this is The Beast here from Cotton of Ice.
Ah!
All right. We were talking before about Mike doing a song on every release.
Yeah, he did something on every release. And
he's like the Ringo Starr kind of thing. You said Anthrax. Thinking, well, Ringo Starr did that for sure.
No, Anvil, I said.
Oh, Anvil was an Anthrax.
Used to do that. Like the rhythm guitar player would sing a song on every thing or whatever. So we were doing it.
Sure.
And it was pretty cool. Gave me a chance just to play and not sing something. That was pretty cool.
I
want to
say that was pretty common.
But other than that, I mean, I wrote all our material. I own copyright for everything and, you know, let him keep his songs or whatever. But, you know.
Sure.
And there's some talk about doing something new. And I have a song that Mike's coming down in the next month to lay bass tracks on a new Wicked Angel song, which is kind of neat. And so we'll have the original, what I really refer to as the original Wicked Angel, mm-hmm. me, Mike, and Dave.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing a song. So we're going to release that song probably early as a single, and I think we're going to do a whole CD. And I think it's going to be put out by CDN Records. So that's going to be kind of neat.
Very cool.
We had have a couple of remastered collections with them, and now we'll do a brand new CD of all new material.
If Motorhead's doing it, you can do it.
Yeah.
For sure, why not?
I'll cancel shows, too, same as Lemmy.
Don't do that.
He
can do
now.
It, maybe.
We're already pre-canceled.
Pre-cancel. Get your pre-cancellation tickets.
That's funny. What do you want to ask?
So, who did the artwork for Cotton of Ice?
Cotton of Ice artwork was done by an artist named Marty Hunt.
That was too much of a softball. I can't even do it. Sorry.
You didn't pass wind, did you?
No.
By chance?
No.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Marty Hunt, he worked at the Art Gallery of Windsor, and he was an artist. And this is going back. And I think we did that CD in like 1990. And he painted the cover. Painted me in a vice for the Cotton of Ice CD. And complete with my Foster Grant shades, the ones that lift up in the front.
Nice.
Of course, they were down in the picture, but
Yeah, you wouldn't want them up.
But yeah, it was pretty cool to have him do it. He was a friend of my dad's, actually, and he did the painting, and I love that painting. It's a little prized possession of mine.
So that is somewhere?
Still have a few Wicked Angel prized possessions around. No, I think I have an 8x10 somewhere, maybe.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't have the big painting. I wish I knew what happened to that painting.
I was gonna say.
It was a big picture. Mm-hmm. I may have had it, and I don't think I ever had it. Oh, I should ask him sometime whatever happened to that. And yeah, there's a few Wicked Angel things that were that I kept from those days.
I would hope so.
Very few.
So where would you say the peak of Wicked Angel's success was? Was it Caught in a Vice?
I'd say before we, when we were, you know, just before that, I guess, was a little mid-80s maybe, was really huge for us. So. Yeah, this comes back again. Cotton of Ice. I really dig this song. This is the title track, actually. And, yeah. But, of course, we didn't listen to this one fully through. But we did one ballad that was on there, and we didn't do much of that kind of stuff. It was all pretty heavy power metal. And this was, again, from Cotton of Ice, and this is called Dreams.
As I call your name, I'm not so far.
Yeah, there you have Dreams.
So was this your first foray into the metal ballad thing?
Necessarily. There was some stuff we were doing earlier that had like Kings of the World had an intro that was acoustic guitar, so okay. You know, and that stuff was we didn't put it on Cotton of Ice, but we did that song early on, and we actually recorded that at where did we record that song? Actually, this song here is live here in Canada, the Canadian Anglo Club. What a great show that was, packed house.
And it was recorded well, obviously, for us to include this.
Yeah, pretty good, yeah. Bootleg. We got a couple live songs here for to play today. Another one from the U.S. somewhere, but...
Yeah, and what is this?
This is In for the Attack.
In for the Attack, and this was on which album?
One of the demo tapes from way back, actually. And we never actually did an official... was never released on
never
an album
released,
or anything.
Right.
Until the... I think it's on the first remastered collection. So it's been remastered, you know.
So the demo releases that you did, they were just demos to be shopped around, right? There's material on there that is included on the remasters.
Yeah, some of the old demo stuff. And then some of those songs that were old demos originally on a demo tape, they were there was a few songs that obviously we recorded and put on the Cotton of Ice CD. Cotton of Ice had two brand new tracks that were put on Cotton of Ice for Cotton of Ice, and the other ones were from demo tapes that we redid the song in the studio.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. And then the remastered collection has the first one has the full Cotton of Ice CDs on there, but then some stuff from the demo tapes that was remastered for the
cool,
you know, kind of best it could be from a cassette.
Right. So Shotgun Mama.
Oh, yeah, later stuff. We're not even playing any of that newer stuff today.
Right. So was that an actual release? Was that on an album that was released?
No.
That was another demo.
We were recording to do a new CD, actually, and can't remember what happened with all that stuff. That was like 1992, 1993.
CDs were just coming out.
You came in the studio and with your band and did backup vocals at Gennaro's, right?
Right. Me and
Dan. For Shotgun Mama, probably a couple other. Was it just you two guys?
Just Dan and I, yeah.
Wow. Yep. That was good stuff, though. And I liked those tunes that we were doing. It was more rockish, sort of than metal.
Right.
And we had new guys in the band.
With who?
Terry Willems was playing bass.
All right.
And Al Catherine was playing drums at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That was the latest Wicked Angel. And I think that was the last Wicked Angel.
So how did you hook up with Terry, who is someone I know, obviously? You knew
question.
Him.
He was playing. Huh?
Was he like a lifetime friend kind of guy, or you just knew him through?
He
other
has
music?
Been now, but I'd known him like from that time, 92 okay. maybe, which is how long ago now? 20 years? 30 years?
Well, it's 23 years.
Yeah, is it?
Yes.
Okay, so over 20 years now I've known him, but he was playing in a local band with one of the guys that worked at Dr. Disc, Len. And Terry played rhythm guitar, and we got him to play bass in Wicked Angel, switch over from rhythm guitar. So that was kind of neat. And they were playing at, I don't know what brought me to go check him out, but he was playing at somewhere, California's, with his band. They were playing Slayer, Metallica, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And I want to say, I don't remember how this happened. I don't remember if I got, I think I might have went to see the bass player, who was Blake Stiller. And
okay.
I think Blake Stiller was in Wicked Angel for a little while.
But well, you really I go through like, your bass players, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. It was, huh?
You really go through your bass
players. Oh, we went through a lot of, that's what stopped us from going and playing Europe and all that stuff. Man, we were invited to go do all kinds of stuff. We would have probably played Wacken and all that stuff. But we were always missing somebody. And then the time to find somebody new, break somebody in, you know what I mean? We've had bass players from all over, too, man, all over the States. They'd come live here and work with us until everything got down, and then at some point just didn't work out, and they're gone.
You're, on to somebody from new. What I understand, you're just hard to get along with.
Oh, yeah, very hard. You better believe it.
It's my way or the highway, and obviously they chose the highway.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, to some degree, because I know what I wanted, and I want it this way, and this is how it needs to be for this particular brand, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as being hard to get along with or anything like that, I think there's a lot of misconceptions. So if I could say the word, it would be fantastic. Misconceptions. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
There's, I mean, I'm sure you're well aware, people will perceive me different than I am, for the most part. They can't see the real me.
Mama. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. That,
yeah, it's all big and a big interesting ride, that's for sure. And a long ride.
So what was the factor that made you say, okay, enough of this Wicked Angel, I've had enough of the music business, just stupid, or whatever. What did you say?
Well, no, I mean, I never really gave up on music, maybe sort of the music business.
Full-time, I'm saying. I know you worked at Chrysler's for a period
of
time.
That was probably it. I mean, we were fighting for a long time, looking for the big American deal. We got a lot of offers. There were smaller offers, indie labels, and in hindsight, yeah, we should have taken something. Maybe as a stepping stone, you know, for something else.
Right.
Which, you know, looking back, yeah, that probably would have happened. Like nothing, but we kept waiting for something bigger and shopping new stuff all the time to some bigger labels, and there was some interest but not enough to get a sign. And so anyway, at some point I put my application in Chrysler's, so I started working there, and I'm thinking, oh, money.
Wow,
we go
this?
Out on the road, we come back with nothing, you know, right? What I mean, every time, then we go back out again and come back with nothing, really, like we eat up all our money on the road.
Yes. And, common story.
Yeah. So then,
good thing you weren't doing drugs or drinking like crazy. You'd be coming back.
Which is another misconception. Most people thought, yeah, I was on drugs and drinking, and I never did anything. All through the whole time of Wicked Angel, nothing. Never
right.
did. Still don't. But I mean, nobody would ever believe that. And we were at all the craziest parties and doing all the, you know,
craziest
what I mean?
Shit.
Yeah.
Stuff.
But no. But no actual drugs and stuff like that. None of the band was.
Right. That was a rule of yours, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah, that would just get in the way of everything. And, you know, I didn't want anything to, you know, hamper what we were doing. Get in the way of us making music to the best of our ability. And, you know, live performances. We were fantastic live. Tight as it, you know, could possibly be.
Right.
We rehearsed a lot and we were really, really good. Really, really tight. It was great. So, to me, that's, you know what I mean, how I felt. And everybody was pretty cool about that.
Sure, if everybody, you were serious,
I mean,
about it, you're in.
Everybody that was playing with us, while they were playing with us, abstained. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the beginning, nobody did anything anyway, so it was cool.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And so when we put out the remastered collections, Volume 1 and Volume 2, we actually did like a couple brand new songs.
Yes.
Just to put on there something. Yeah.
They sound awesome.
And yeah, they came out really cool. And this one here is New World Rising.
Take your side or be left in the cold. Hey now, whether you like it or not, so stand or take the fall.
Yeah, so that's from the first remastered collection. And on the second remastered collection, we did this one here called Yesterday's Dreams, which is another one that starts out with some, you know, a little softer with some cool lead and gets heavy. I don't know. I think this is like, well, I tried to write old school still, you know,
right,
in the same kind of vein.
Yeah.
I think I did that pretty good. And it was a long time since I had to write for Wicked Angel,
right,
which I found to be a little bit more challenging than... Just because I hadn't done that for a long time.
Right, you had to put your head in
to write
in
that
a
way, you know
spot,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is Yesterday's Dreams. right. So just about wrapping up the Wicked Angel show here.
What did we talk about?
I don't know. Just about everything, no?
Yeah. See, at the beginning of the show, JD was all, I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I guess when I'm asked, I remember stuff, but I don't really, you know, I'm scratching the surface of everything, really. Mike and I want to write a book. And maybe we will, because there are so many years of stories and everything. We did this for like over a decade.
Did the full blast. Yeah.
It was like, you know, everything possible as close as you get to like, you know.
Breaking it.
Yeah. Breaking into the industry as a national touring recording band. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
And
a lot of work, too.
Was part of your reason to whatever mellow out on doing the Wicked Angel thing, or maybe just not writing anymore Wicked Angel, was the waning of metal's popularity?
No, it wasn't so much that as that I didn't want to. I was happy with the guys I had, and they couldn't really play anymore, and I didn't want to just make another Wicked Angel band. You know what I mean? I kind of did that with the last inception of Wicked Angel, and it was cool, but I don't know. And I thought if I'm going to put the time and effort into that too, that it would really, I'd really have to put a lot of time and effort into it, because I'd need two new people. I'd probably get a couple young guys that are really hungry, because, you know, people that are getting up to my age now, if I'm going to continue on and do that, like, you know, whatever, 30 years later, whatever it was mm-hmm. at the time, even now it's what, 40 years later, whatever, however that worked out. But anyway, yeah, it would be tough, and I'd have to spend a lot of time and energy doing it. And what would I be doing that for? Am I going to do it to get a record deal? Because I'm not going to be playing around here. That's for sure. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was just kind of a tough call, yet I could still write and record music, which is what I did all along. I never stopped. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I wasn't writing and recording Wicked Angel really. So I was still doing some metal and doing hard rock and doing some acoustic stuff and whatever. And there's like, you know, another thousands of songs,
right?
But it just wasn't Wicked Angel stuff, so it was kind of neat to be able to, you know, sort of have to write something new for those two remastered collections, which is neat. And there's actually there's a couple of bonus tracks that were written for a new CD. There's a couple of parts for a couple new songs that were done, and then there's actually one new song that the one that Mike's going to come and lay bass tracks down, and we're going to actually do that one song for sure and put out. It's called Back Hard.
Back Hard.
Yeah, because that's what we'll be.
Back Hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool. I wish I had some kind of finished demo version to play, but...
That's okay.
It's not finished enough, but on the good next, things come to those who wait.
On the next Wicked Angels show.
Yeah, part two, whenever that is.
So tell the folks what you're doing now as far as making music goes.
Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. Actually, you can check out the Wicked Angel website. It's pretty much just a static page, but you can get to, you know, order discs and stuff. Wickedangel.ca and JeffreyDavid.ca, which is my super heavy blues band. And we're working on a second CD. And I think we're going to release a second track. Actually, we released a single, Long Cold Lonely Winter, I think like last year or something like that, because the CD's taken so long to put out. And there's another song that's done, so we might put that out. But we've just been recently also talking about doing a video for it. At the same time, I was just going to release the song. So now I don't know what's going to happen. We might do a video for it in the spring and then release it. I'm not sure. And I just posted on Facebook I was going to release the song, but I don't know what will happen now. Maybe we will, but the video wouldn't have as much impact. But we actually have a video half written, which is really, really cool for the song. So we might do that. But anyway, heavy blues, Sabbath meets the blues kind of thing.
Sabbath meets the blues.
Yeah.
And they had a baby, and they called it...
Puppy Love.
Jeffrey David's Blues.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
Connection.
So yeah, that's what that's all about. And let's move on to what we got for the fine folks next week.
What's going on next week?
I don't know. What is going on? I thought it was a Jeffrey David's Blues Connection show. What do you want to do?
I want to do a show on one of my favorite guitarists, Jimmy Page.
You want to do Jimmy Page?
I don't know.
I do.
He's kind of old.
I remember when I saw him with, I think it's Outrider tour with, who was the band?
Was the Jimmy Outrider. Page band.
Yeah, was it just Jimmy Page or something? Or was it?
Yeah, the guy singing.
Yeah, something. And he had a big long scarf on, and he was like, just like. Jason, I think he was walking around with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Jason
and he
Bung.
Was playing, wailing, and drunk, and his drool was hanging from his mouth almost to the floor. It was great. Jimmy Page, man. I don't remember much of it, but...
Drool? I remember the drool part.
Yeah.
I didn't have that great of seats, but if you saw drool, I believe you. Mm-hmm. He's been known to abuse a thing or two.
A bottle or two.
Yeah. I think he's pretty straight now.
I think so, yeah. But that'll be a fun show. Jimmy Page. A lot to talk about the Aleister Crowley thing, his castle.
Yeah.
The perception of Zeppelin before we knew everything about Zeppelin. Like, you know, we've talked about that before.
Cult of secrecy behind celebrity, yeah.
Computers and YouTube, and now we see and know everything. Everybody's just a regular guy. Except the guy from Wicked Angel.
So what are we going to listen to on our way out?
One last song here. This is The Executioner, recorded live somewhere in Michigan. I think this is on the first remastered collection CD. Executioner. I've always loved this song, and I wish that we had a studio version of it because it's really cool.
You could redo it on the new Wicked Angel.
Yeah, I thought about maybe redoing a song. And actually, at the earliest point when we were actually going to do New Wicked Angel was, I'm going to say, 2003, I think. And I actually recorded something brand new and a previous Wicked Angel song. And just guitar tracks. Mm-hmm. There was nothing else done.
Right.
And it got shelved like everything else. But I do have a hard rock CD coming out at some point, which is cool. And Lipo's going to be on it. And is he?
Yeah, I'm just hearing about it right now.
Well, he laid part down on the one song, that one. And then the punk-try thing, part punk, part country I'm doing with Rob. So there's some fun stuff going on. But sure. Jeffrey David's Blues Connection, man. JeffreyDavid.ca, that's what's happening now. And just quickly, I'd like to thank my You Talking to Me guests again today for being on the show, Mark Elford and Mike Mier. And here's The Executioner. We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.